Welcome to the Hey Nonprofits Raise More Money podcast. For this episode, Amy Myers joins us in our exclusive webinar discussion on how minor overlooked details can cost you thousands in lost donations. Your hosts, Trevor Nelson and Jason Ledlow, bring you the unvarnished, no-holds-barred truth about raising more money to power your nonprofit mission. Let's get right into it.
Okay, awesome. Well, thanks everyone, of course, as always, for being here. Jay, I'm sorry to ask, 61?
61.
Episode 61 of the HGA free webinar series. And we're pretty giddy over here because we got the band back together. And we're so thankful to have our dear friend, Amy Myers, of course, National Senior Director of Fundraising and Community Engagement with Muscular Dystrophy Association. And Jason and I, along with Amy, have this topic today that, of course, will resonate with everyone that's planning an event, regardless of the scale, scope, of course, venue or anything like that. And it's why it's rooted in why details matter. And Jason has an abundance of experience planning events and working on details. He's a very detail-oriented person. Amy is an exceptionally detail-oriented person as well, with a ton of experience with huge virtual telethons and giant fundraising events and galas with 600 people in the room. And she's very process and detail-oriented and goal-oriented. So she's the perfect person to have on with us today for this. So thankful to have Amy back. Of course, super thankful to have my brother Jason with us. And I'm going to monitor chat, Q&A, any questions. This is going to be a very interactive conversation where we need to, you know, hear questions and some experience share and whatnot. We got plenty of experience that we're going to share with you as well. And let's just keep the communication open and going. And we're thankful for everyone to be here. We'll get you out of here within an hour and stay till the end, because we'll do a drawing for a winner of a travel item, a very detailed travel item that you can use at your next event. So thanks so much, Amy, for being here. Thank you, Jay.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad. Thanks, brother, for teeing that up. I'm wearing a t-shirt and I'm wearing a ball cap, but there's a purpose for that, because right now I'm planning for a triathlon and details matter. Yeah. And if I do all the stuff and I follow the details, because I'm going to go out and ride my bicycle here in just a little bit when I get done part of the training program, even though in Oklahoma City, it's blowing about 35 miles an hour, but I'm still going to do it. But really this whole topic came up. There's been a few things that have come up over the last couple of weeks, and we kind of put that together, Trevor and I did. I was like, holy smokes, they're missing these details, and it's costing them big money. I've got a couple of examples that I want to give you that I know that are, hopefully everybody's sitting there, they go, oh, I got that box checked. But I want to give Amy some other I want her to talk about some other details and experience. And then I'd like you guys to come with any questions, anything. And anytime there, just type the question up. We'll get to it. We always do.
Yep.
But I want to give you the first example I want to give. It's a simple detail. It's really so simple. So I was at a fundraiser just recently. I was assisting, and it was a very small, intimate gathering. Wasn't a whole lot of stuff. We literally had one item. We auctioned that off. And then we do a thing where we take a tennis ball and we sell the tennis ball, and then we pass tennis balls out. And that's just where they do the fund to need. And it's really cool. We're going along. I sell the first item, sell the second. I sold a tennis ball for $5,000, most expensive tennis ball in history. Then we're going on down the road, and I look over and I see that nobody's writing anything down. And so I just casually mentioned, I said, yeah, I said, as you're going along here, I said, no worries. I said, we're going to make sure we get your name and information to our, you know, a couple of the people I brought up, and nobody's doing it. Here's what, now, did we get it done? Yes. Did they get it done? Yes. This is a very small, intimate crowd. Everybody there is going to go pay. It's not like, well, we missed something. But here's the issue that I saw, that I left thinking about why details matter. Before we started this whole event, they announced that they had a person who had given a $250,000 matching grant. to challenge for this challenge, and they're doing this. And this specific individual can write a check for seven figures, and it is a very big beneficiary. And I'm sitting there thinking, this organization who just finally got the whale, landed the deal, get them in the boat, and then something so similar is they're running around trying to figure out how to write this stuff down. Details matter. If I write a check, if you're writing a check to an organization of that magnitude, you want to make sure that they catch the details, that they're doing it. Because if they miss on this detail, what other detail are they missing on? So that's just an example of perception. It's a perceived, the perception's there. There's no ill intent. It wasn't that they weren't doing it, but it's just that's what happened. I'm going to give you one that cost real money. Doing an event, doing a benefit auction. We're got to the part where we're doing fund a need. They decided to forego using, and I'm a big fan of software we talk about all the time, but they decided to forego a bid paddle. Didn't use bidder paddles, didn't want to use them. We get to the point where we do a fund a need. First person steps up, $25,000. And they did write that down because they knew the guy, knew his name. 10 grand, we get people holding their hand up for 10,000, 5,000, 2,500, five. But then there comes a point where, it's so many people are raising their hands. They're trying to get them saying, oh yeah, just go on your phone and put it in your phone. It became a problem because there were people there that had not had not looked online, had not gone to the webs, because it's been a few years ago, had not spent any time looking this up. And all of a sudden, in the heat of the moment, where instead of me saying number 275, number 381, number 161, and we're writing down $1,000 at a time, everybody's looking down at their phone trying to figure out how to make a donation. And I think it cost them $50,000 that night. That's how much I think it cost them. Because I talked to some guy after the fact. Now for the nonprofit, they had a phenomenal night. They still had fantastic, but I still think that they left $50,000 on the table because a lot of people finally just said, screw it, set their phone down and went on. And they're not all going to, because it was a big event, they're not all going to sit there and go, oh yeah, hey, I want to write you a check for $1,000. It just doesn't happen that way because it's not in the moment. So those are just a couple of simple, real quick examples of how they are. The next one I got one more real quick. And then I know Amy has one that I'm going to share. Amy knows of one that I'm going to share. I don't want to give names away, but details matter. Auctioneer gets up and sits there and he's raising money and doing all this stuff and everything's going on. And this guy had, some guy gives away a bottle of booze that they go and they auction off, brings a lot of money. Well, the auctioneer thinks he's doing a good job. He doesn't know. He doesn't have, and maybe he did. I don't know if he did know this detail, but whatever. He pulls the guy up on stage. The guy sits there and talks about his distillery and why he wants to be a part of this. And all of a sudden, but they also happen to have another major sponsor who wrote a big check. Okay. Not just give him a bottle of booze, but wrote a big check to underwrite this event. And they didn't get any time on the mic. Now that does leave it. It's back to perception. Did we slide them? Well, it wasn't intentional, but it's about the perception of what that has. And they may not have cared, but it's still perception. Last one, nonprofit. And I'm going to change stuff around because I don't want anybody to know who this was or what it was. I don't name anybody anyway, but nonprofit goes and has a charity auction, doesn't check the price of the event of the availability of an item. They just go with it. Actually, it was the auctioneer gave them the detail. They go and sell 20 items, huge success, comes back trying to fulfill it. That product doesn't exist and definitely not at the price because that's 2 years old. Now somebody's got a problem because there's about, this is a $12,000 mistake. Who's going to eat that? It's leaving money on, just details matter. So I just wanted to hit some things that I've seen. And these have all happened over the last couple of years. A couple of them are very recent. The one about the bid paddles is pretty old, but it's a couple of years ago, but that's real money. And when you're planning and you're making your plans and assumptions get made that, oh, we'll just figure it out, because it's hard. It's really hard when you're getting closer to that. You're getting closer to the event, closer to the event. Typically your stress level's kind of going like this, because it just does. Maybe somebody hasn't got something done and you think, well, we'll just figure it out. I cannot tell you how many times I've had people say, oh, no, no, we're going to have plenty of help. We'll have plenty of help. I said, are you sure? You're sure you have plenty of help? Like, you've got names on a list. You've checked off with them. You verify they're going, yeah, yeah, no, no, we got it covered. We got it covered. We get there, nothing, crickets. They're running around. Well, I don't know. I thought we had some. They don't have it done. And so I'm done giving examples, but I want y'all to hear, these are things that doesn't seem like a big deal, but it can sure cost you a whole lot of money if all of a sudden you've got, you know, big drawing, you're ready to go and you don't have it lined up. And everybody's susceptible to it. I am, Trevor, Amy, we're all there. And, you know, it's like being a pilot. I'm a pilot. Funny thing is, they always talk about checklists. Why do pilots do checklists? Because checklists are important. Because even though I've done the checklist 5,000 times, I know exactly everything I'm checking off. And the one day I don't pick my piece of paper up, all of a sudden, for some reason in my mind, I forget a line, a checklist. And so I don't check, I'm going to make it up, a mag check or something like that. And I don't do it, because I think I've got it all down because I've done it so many times, but I miss it. And then all of a sudden one day while I'm flying at 10,000 feet, something happens and all of a sudden I'm stuck because I didn't check it. So that happens, and we see it a lot. And that's where all these things come from. Either they don't have a checklist, you don't have the detail, you didn't follow through, or, you know, it just gets missed. And so what can we do? Because details matter. Okay. So there you go, Amy. You want to pipe in here and share some stuff on that?
I mean, you took my best one with the liquor guy that decided to do a 30-minute commercial. So I would say, every event, I can think of so many different things, but I think another big one that I've seen that has cost organizations, maybe some of the events that I've been to, is not paying attention to your auction and it being in the software. A lot of the softwares are preset at like 30% of fair market value or whatever. And what I've seen happen numerous times is people utilizing consignment items, and it automatically does the 30% of the fair market value. And at the end of the night, you've sold all kinds of items or vacations for less than what you're going to pay the company.
Less than reserve.
That's a big one. Yeah.
Yep.
We've seen that a lot, actually, the same thing, like you said, with the advent of folks using mobile bidding more often than not now. Yeah. We have seen that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So really paying attention, going through your auction. I think, you know, especially like a silent auction, that tends to be, you know, items are coming in last minute, and that tends to be one of the ones that we rush through that piece of it is the silent auction. I think it's really important to spend the extra time and go item by item, look at descriptions, look at also making sure, another big one that I think gets missed is, you know, not paying attention to the details of each item as far as when does it expire? Are there limitations? You know, having all those details, because it can come back to bite you for sure.
You have checklists, like branded checklists and communication charts, for lack of a better moniker, that you've actually developed yourself as well.
We have checklists. We have timelines, which the timelines incorporate all those little details of, yes, I did a social media post for the big sponsor, you know, because that's another one is we get so caught up. And so making sure we fulfill the benefits that we've promised our sponsors. I see that happen too, where the event's over and, oh my gosh, we sold a $50,000 sponsorship. And at a certain point they were supposed to, you know, have a social media shout out, you know? So like Jason said, it's perception, you know, next year they might come back and be like, you know, I paid all that money and didn't get my benefits fulfilled. So do I really want to do it at that level?
Huge point.
Yeah. And here's the thing. If you make a, it is perception, and it is, you know, they're doing a lot of this stuff. It is altruistic, the fact that they do want to support, but I know from a corporate standpoint and deal, they want to get it. I'll give you a perfect example. I know they were doing a virtual event. It was a party at a house. They had broke it up. This was back in the virtual time. They were supposed to get a cheese tray. They gave $10,000 and didn't get their cheese tray. And this person, this sponsor, and I know her person, I know this person personally, is a wonderful person. Very, very generous, very, but it was very frustrating for her because she didn't get the cheese tray. And it's kind of some, and literally the executive of the nonprofit kind of said, good gosh, are you kidding me? And from my standpoint, I'm like, you're the one that promised it. You don't have to, if you hadn't given away, you said, oh yeah, yeah, sure, we'll do all this. But people do have that expectation. It's kind of like the, communicating with the auctioneer to say, hey, look, we've got this awesome donation. And Amy knows what I'm talking about, so I don't know all the details. I just know roughly. But, to say where you give the guy, we don't let anybody get up and speak more than 5 minutes ever, or 3 minutes. It's kind of like having a politician come and speak at your event. Whenever I've done that and had him come speak, I say, you have 5 minutes. I will cut your mic off. I will embarrass you if you're not done in 5 minutes. Now I always know them, and they know that they know, number one, that I mean it. Number two, they're going to, I say it in a loving way, because they'll get up and go, Jason said, I have to go. I've got 5 minutes, and he's giving me the countdown. So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
The music starts playing.
Yeah. I mean, we're lowering the microphone down.
Yeah.
But all those things happen. It's the stupidest detail that you've gotten away with 15 times. Like I'm talking about flying an airplane or a helicopter. I haven't, 15 times, or 50 times I've gotten away with it. And the one time that it really matters the most is when it's going to come up and you're going to get snake bit by it. So we've given some issues, and I'd love to hear if anybody else has one. And, it's okay to tell on yourself or somebody else that you've seen. It's just share with everybody.
Yeah, Jason. And I think like you mentioning that with, having that conversation with the auctioneer, sometimes we, in our minds, think because we have a professional auctioneer and we have this MC that's from the local news station that does the event every year, that one of the details that we skip is doing a dry run before the event. I am a big believer, because that is when you have the time to, like, and when I say dry run, I mean, you are going through the program, because one, you know how long it's going to take,
and then
you know what kind of quirky things your auctioneer might say. Now, I mean, things still happen on the spur of the moment, but I think that that detail of that dry run is so important.
Well, that's where you're going to see stuff that you did miss. Maybe you've got your checklist. Maybe you've gone through the plan, and all of a sudden, while you're doing the dry run, somebody goes, hey,
who's
writing this stuff? Talking about like a golden ticket. Oh, hey, wait a minute. Who's going to write the tickets and who's going to do that? Oh, we don't have that. We got to figure it out, because it's important. So all those things come up. And I think that dry run is really, really important. And, talking about communicating to the auctioneer, why those details matter. I can say this because I am one, and because I've said this very same thing. Don't worry, I've got it. I pretty much embarrassed myself at an event not too long ago. And let's see. And Sammy is on here because it was at her event. We were doing this deal. We get up. It's time to do the ask. I went right from the live auction right to the live ask. There was a very powerful speaker that was coming up that was going to give a testimonial, and very, very powerful to do that. And me, I stepped all right in the middle of the whole thing, and it was right there in front of me. So I missed it. I did. I very intent. I understand the event. I know what's going on, and I still screwed it up. Now, somehow I recovered. They forgave me, and we still raised a lot of money. But it is absolutely that's a detail, because they're going to say, I got it. Don't worry about it. No worries. We're going to be good. I got it. We're good. And they're a pro and they're good and they are going to do a great job. But you got to go, look, for me, for my peace of mind, I'm asking that we can go through. We're going to go through this. Well, it's not because the auctioneer walks up and goes, yeah, okay, what's up next? And here we go. Sold, you know, and
they do. Yeah. And I would say, you know, I always tell my staff with that, because you're exactly right. They, you know, the event's at 6, registration opens at 5:30. The auctioneer wants to get there at like 5:15 or whatever. I always tell my staff, like, you're paying them. They're kind of your customer. You tell them what you want them there at 4 o'clock, because we're doing a dry run. We're, you know, it's 30 minutes or whatever it's going to take to go through. We are going to do this dry run. And I think the other thing too, Jason, talking about like the bidder cards and not recording, small detail, but I'm a big believer in somebody just taking out their phone and recording the mission drive, because numbers get transposed when you're writing down bidder numbers and stuff like that. And I can't tell you how many times we've gone back through just to double check to make sure we heard numbers right. We wrote down, we always have somebody recording the numbers, like you mentioned, and then we take a picture of that recording sheet that we can refer back to. So two simple things, small details, but definitely cover your butt if necessary.
Well, and the other thing I would just use in that, that's a specific detail, is they have no other job to do than that. Do not assume that you can write it down, because you're going to sit at your table, write it down, talking to people, seeing what's going on. Somebody comes and asks a question. It happens all the time. You need to have somebody that's away from the table, sitting over there where they can ask, and they have to be empowered to tell the auctioneer, I missed that last number. Can you repeat that again? It was $5,000 and it was, you know, to bidder number 105, Trevor Nelson's, that gentleman right over
there. Mission drive, we typically have three people recording. We have two recording on paper, on pre-printed, like with the levels for your mission drive or fund a need or whatever, recording. And then we have one doing it on the iPad so we can cross-reference. Because you're right, you write things down wrong, you hear things, people come up and interrupt. You can't always hear, you know, what's going on, because it can get noisy. So we always have at least three recorders.
Well, I was just going to say, I think, you know, when we're talking about these details, this is, we're kind of zeroing in on one part of it, but it also matters, you know, the details of parking, the details of check-in, the details of what's going to be, the details of audio. I absolutely tell you right now, one of the number one things that I see happen in the last 30 years for events, people will go into the ballroom. They'll turn on the sound. They'll go, wow, this is great, man. Oh, that's really loud, because there's three people in the room. You put 600 people in that room and it all changes. And so it's a detail that some people, they're not, it doesn't happen the way that we think it does. You got to be able, you know, the sound.
You got to spend money to make money. And AV, in my opinion, is where you never, ever cut costs. Your AV can make or break. I've been at an event where they couldn't hear in the back of the room, and we had a big package that was an airplane, like a private jet to some golf course, whatever. And the people in the back of the room could not hear the auctioneer. They didn't know what it was sold for. Found out after, like, they would have paid significantly more, but they couldn't hear. So they didn't get to bid on it.
Yeah. And you know, you got to be, you think about this on, you go to a basketball game, you go to a football game. I mean, talking about like, you know, something, they've got the system where they're going to get over all the cheers and screams and you're going to hear it. So you have to think about it in that context. And, but I mean, it's simple stuff like that. Having enough microphones. Well, the dry run is going to tell you real quick if you have enough, because you've got an MC, and the worst thing in the world is where you've got one MC that's, and you're planned on to read off the items, and then you've got your auctioneer and y'all are passing a microphone back and forth.
It's tacky.
It's just clumsy and it looks cheap. It's tacky. You know?
So can I comment? Because Mark West put probably the best statement that you could talk about, the detail. Mm-hmm. For me, one of the most important top of the list details is your run of show and when you do things. And I think an important detail is fundraising first. People are coming to this event to, if you've prepped your bid or prepped your guest, they're coming to support your cause. They buy into your mission. And the worst thing you can do is not spend the time on your run of show or, and have your mission drive, the fund a need at the end of the night, because Mark is exactly right. You will, as you're going through, yes, it's important to talk about your program and your mission and all that, but do that after the fundraising, because as you can watch your money walk out of the room. If you save your fund a need and your live auction to the end of the night, they need to be very, very early in the program. It's a little detail. It's easy to move them, but where you put those two, the fund a need and the live auction, in my opinion, can make or break your dollar amount.
Oh, well, I always say 9 o'clock is the absolute cutoff for raising money. Because if you're trying to go, because at 9 o'clock, it's like the magic time. All of a sudden, somebody's got to get home to get their babysitter. They're ready to, you know, so they've got to get up to go to work the next day. Something's going on. And, you know, an hour of fundraising is my always deal. An absolutely drop dead date time to be done is 9 o'clock. If you go past that, and I've been at events where they did, and sometimes it works out great, but be really careful. And the other part that you mentioned, and I think this is such a great one. There was an event, and y'all probably heard me mention this before. There were 600 people in the room, maybe 700. They had some great items, really strong people. They had two people get up and speak. One was an astronaut and the other was a politician. Both of them are super long-winded. They spend an hour and a half talking. As soon as the last guy gets done, everybody left. And instead of 700 people, they had like 70. And it was a complete, total fundraising failure. So they did all this, had this great event, and they did it. Had they simply flipped it, raised the money first, then let these guys speak and talk their heads off?
I had a weird kind of off the wall question that popped into my mind, because we were talking about sponsors. We were talking about perception and expectation, kind of all, and not just, it doesn't just have to be sponsors, but we can go macro and say supporters. So Jason and I are in a particular space when it comes to supporters that we deal with, right? Usually they've already gone to an event and what have you, and we deal with nonprofits before their event and what have you. Amy's actually, and Jason still does a lot of events and gives his time. Amy, you're working with medium, large, super-sized events and some really, really huge supporters, you know, from all walks. My weird question is this: have you noticed, because I think this would be a detail or an attention to detail, have you noticed a shift in the last couple of years, maybe just since COVID and now where we are currently, have you noticed a shift in the expectation of supporters? Have you noticed a shift in the sensitivity, kind of like what you're talking about, where the one supporter got ostracized, that was a competing distillery of the other, for instance, maybe their expectation was a lot higher than you could have ever imagined. And the sensitivity level is heightened now because of where we are in the fundraising space. And I could be completely off topic and off the wall here, but I'm just curious if you've noticed any trends in the expectation level, the sensitivity level, or just some combination thereof.
So expectation level, I feel like we're seeing less expectations. People have become, you know, sponsors, donors have become more flexible, so to speak. And some of that I think is because during COVID, we didn't have a lot of tangibles to sell. So we had to learn how to sell our mission, sell into our program, sell into our advocacy, sell into whatever it is. So, I would say expectations are lower and maybe different. Definitely different. But on the other side of it, I would say that we are seeing people more invested in our mission and more giving, so to speak. And that's where I think like these details and paying attention, we need to capitalize on that because people are, there's so many opportunities. And because of the shift and the difference in expectations, this is our opportunity to go in and upsell.
Yeah. One of the things that I saw with an organization did, they had a $50,000 donor and they went to him and said, hey, we're wanting to raise some money. It was just a fund a knee. That's all they were doing. Paddle raise, whatever you want to call it. And they really wanted to get some momentum. And once they said, would you be willing to make another gift that we could use to challenge room? I think they came up with $30,000 like that, because that ask was made. But what happened after that, because we said, we would like you to be able to raise your hand and make the deal. And so this was all laid out. They took the $30,000 and they started off with a $20,000 gift. Or actually, I think it was a $15,000 gift. And then they had another deal where it was another $10,000. And then they staged out their deal. It was all staged. The appearance was done, but we staged it out that way. So they got a lot of, bang for their buck, if you would. But I mean, they were $80,000 donor. So it was a company and they were able to say, hey, you know what? I'll buy three of those units that are $5,000 a piece. Well, everybody goes crazy. And then somebody else does. And they had a couple of it and we kind of got them. They competed again. There were two construction companies and they came along and said, hey, we don't want to be left out. Because once they found out what Company A was doing, Company B, but the details of how that all worked, it wasn't just, oh, they're in for 30 grand and they're in for 20. It because we really worked on those details and scripted it out, it made a huge difference in the night. And they raised another, a couple hundred thousand dollars, probably over and above just with the matches. So that's why I think those things matter so much. The scripting, the plan, the checklist, the details. We're talking a lot on that. I've got one more that I want to do, and this is kind of a funny thing. Recently was at an event and we walk around to where the bar area was. The food was very nice. It was a very nice, like I said, small deal, heavy hors d'oeuvres kind of thing. And the wine was, I'm going to say off-label beer. It was off-label beer and screw top single wine that they had got somebody to donate. No one wanted any of it. It was kind of one of those things. It was like, holy cow. I don't know how much money they thought they saved by doing that, but it just gave a perception of this intimate, very deal. You're our favored, and this is what they put out there. You're our favored donors and you're very special to our organization and we want to bring you in and do all this. And then they went around the cheap way with this. Now, I'm not saying that you've got to go have $500 bottles of wine. I don't mean that at all. But again, it's a perception. The other perception that I have, and this is just me personally, when I see the people up there and they have a tip jar sitting on the thing, it is the most classless deal. It's one thing if it's outside and you're doing a fun run. Okay, sure, whatever, some backyard. But if it's a, I'm gonna say an elegant event and there's a tip jar, I'm telling whoever's serving, no tips. People are still gonna, they can tip them if they want to, but let's not be so. That's just a detail. That's just my personal opinion. I typically don't like to do it that way. Say this, but that's just one of the things I think it just really lowers the standard of what we're trying to do. It doesn't, I mean,
and not
it's
enough.
Just
bars.
One of those things.
There's nothing worse than not.
Yeah.
Knowing, and that's why, most of us do RSVPs and we know how many people we're expecting. And, I'm big for at least one bar per 100 people. There's nothing worse than your people having to wait in line to get a drink, because if they're waiting in line to get a drink, they're probably not spending money. They're chit-chatting.
Well, and if they are, and you're going to, what happens is you've got a bar over here on this side, and then all the silent auction items are over here and everything's over on this other part and nobody's over there and everybody's standing in line.
I saw an event one time. It was the worst thing. They had, I don't even know how many bars, per people, whatever. But the line was so long that literally people were getting, and they were only allowed to get like one or two drinks at a time. They would get their drink. They would walk to the back of the line and get in line because they knew by the time they finished that drink, they'd have to work. It was terrible. And the setup was awful. And I think that's another thing is your setup. You know, you want to be able to have, you know, you don't want your bar in a situation where if there's a line, it's blocking so people can't see your auction, which is what happened here. And you want to have your setup so that while people are waiting and, you know, how can we make money off these people while they're waiting in line for their drink? Well, you put your revenue enhancer next to the bar.
Love that.
We did a deal. There was one and they had it in it was the bar in the back, kind of the back of the area. And there was a silent auction all lined up. It was a super silent auction. They were all high dollar items. They had them all lined up there. So if you're standing there, you cannot help but see them. And it worked off. They sold 11 trips for $100,000, you know, and they netted out about, I don't know, 30, 40 grand off that deal. Just doing that. So
that setup, your setup of your cocktail reception is so important. Like not putting your silent auction. I don't love a silent auction up against a wall. I want it where people can walk around it. I don't want it pigeonholed in a corner or I see people do like a horseshoe almost. Well, then you've got everybody trying to get into this little spot to see, you know, and then it gets crowded and people say, forget it. I'm just going to go. So, I mean, I think that's a huge detail is what is your layout? And a lot of times we hear, I know venues we work with, they want to give you a layout of what the room is going to look like. You do not have to go by that. You are paying them a lot of money and you can say, no, yeah. I don't, that might be what's easiest for them, but no, I don't want my hors d'oeuvres by the bar. I want my revenue enhancer by the bar, you know? So making sure that you work with your venue to have the right layout.
Mark brought up a point and I'm glad he said it because I was thinking it before. Talking about plated versus buffet. I've seen the deal with buffets where they had one buffet line, same thing as the bar. It's a line around the block and nobody's getting through there. I'd like to get Amy's take on all that.
I despise a buffet. It makes me think of a wedding, not a gala. Now I will say it is a case by case. I have one event. I have tried to get them to do a sit down. They insist a buffet is better for their people. They do a buffet. It works great, but we pay attention to every detail. Do we have enough, you know, can we set up to them so that, you know, you have people going on both spots and they literally are through this buffet in like 15 minutes, which isn't any longer than serving. But if you're going to do a buffet, you have to have it almost like you're doing your run of show. You've got to have it planned down to the minute. But ultimately, you know, I sit down dinner, pre-plated salad, because I like to do part of my fundraising during the dinner. Pre-plated salad, they sit down, we're going to kick off, we're going to invite, we're going to do our mission drive, then we're going to serve the dinner. And when that first, you know, typically you put your, we always put our, you know, who are your big spenders? They're in the front of the room. So as soon as they've set the last plate, at the back of the room, more than likely the front of your room is done eating. And that's when we kick off our live auction. So we utilize the sit down dinner to get that fundraising and kind of work it into the dinner.
Hey, I want to mention something real quick. Karen brought something up. We always have two bars and a double buffet. I want to be really specific about something on the bar. When we're talking about bars, I'm talking about servers. I've seen where there was a bar, there was one bar and it was really wide and there were five people making drinks, doing the stuff and it flew through. It was so good, you know, it was doing that. But you could have one person at one bar or you could have three bars with just one person serving at each one of them and it is so slow. I think that's something, that's a detail that you've got to talk to your whoever's providing for you, who's running the bar, because I know there's different ways in different states and different areas, whether it's the what do you call them? The
caterer?
Food company that does your
caterer.
You call it. Mm-hmm. Caterer, yeah. Sorry. making sure that they're fully staffed, because if you don't, that's a detail. Well, you told us you needed three bars. We've got three bars. No, I need exactly.
I need one bartender first.
Each bar has two tenders and a bar tap and a bar back for each one. What does that mean? That means we've got one person, two people who are serving, and the other person's making sure that we have ice and glasses and all that stuff. And it is so essential that that's done, because if your bartender runs out of limes and can't go to the kitchen because there's 37 people in front, you're got a problem. Yeah. And so it's little stuff like that. Well, how does that cost you money? Well, first of all, they're frustrated because they didn't get what they wanted. Back to the whole thing, expectation. They're standing in line over there. That's time that they can't go, because we've got a finite amount of time that they're not going and looking at the items. They're not going to go hear the message. They're standing up there, even though you've got the bar going, or you know, the program's going, they're still standing at the bar. It just happens. And somebody who, if they were sitting at their table paying attention or turned around looking at what's going on, absolutely might do that. That I've got one more thing I think that's kind of a detail, that's a weird detail because it's a strange event. And when I say a strange event, it works for what they do. Mark's real familiar with it. So there's a group, there's an organization that does a fundraiser. And I'm going to say it's like a sorority party. That's because it's a bunch of ladies that do it. It's at a restaurant. It's all cut up in 15 different ways. They've got a whole lot of people there, probably 300 or 400 people that show up. It's like one big party that you went to in college. And because everybody's just kind of meandering around a room, they're all split up. But when it comes time to raise money, they raise money. And what I've seen in sometimes is you've got that kind of a raucous crowd and you're so worried, you're trying to get everybody's attention. You spend so much time trying to, you're never going to get all their attention. And the people whose attention you do have is probably who you want. You know, there's a difference between when they want to pay attention and they just can't hear you versus they're paying attention. They know what's going on because they're there to support your mission. And then there's going to be some people that are, you know, they're just back there standing at the bar drinking. They're never going to give you a nickel anyway. They were somebody else's guest, or, you know, the bank that was your sponsor, instead of the president of the bank coming and bringing some people, he went down and handed it off to employees, or, you know, gave it away to somebody, and they show up and get a free dinner. And I literally have had somebody say that to them. Hey, you know what? Hey, we did this. Here you go. You get a free dinner.
So two other spots that I think like the details matter is check in and check out, like auction pickup. It's your first impression and your last impression that your guests get. So really working through the check-in process. What does that look like? Are they having to sign into a computer? They have to get their credit card swiped? Are they getting their bidder? Whatever it is, making sure you have the volunteers that you need and a plan in place to get them through check-in as quick as possible. Because if they have to stand and wait 30 minutes to check into your event, they've got a bad taste in their mouth and they're not coming into your event with a great attitude. And then check out auction pickup. If they're having to wait for that, that's the last thing they remember when they leave your event. So really paying attention to the details of check-in and check-out.
More is I think it's better to have people sitting there doing nothing because they're flowing through so fast than not having enough. I mean, you just can't overplan these things. You need to have where everybody's sitting around bored because nobody's waiting. Just people don't like to wait. They don't want to wait. They will for a little bit, but a little bit goes a long way. And finally, you're going to have people just walk on. And then you got to go chase them down. I mean, this doesn't mean that they're going to, I mean, I'm one of those people. I hate to wait.
My last question with Amy was about like observing people's behaviors now in the world of fundraising when it came to their sensitivity or expectation or things like that. Another interesting one, Amy, have you noticed keeping people's attention? Has that changed? That's a really wide spectrum question. But as far as the attention, we call it the golden hour of fundraising. Does that need to be shortened to 45 minutes? You know, things right. like that. What are you noticing trend wise?
I mean, if it's a virtual event, because there are still people trying to do virtual events, like the attention span is gone. The hour of fundraising at events. No, I mean, I would say we're seeing people paying more attention. They're I just feel like people are in a different mindset. They're like feeling like we're getting back to normal. And a lot of, you know, we're kind of riding the wave of, for some people, this is like their first big outing. So it's like, you know, how, like when you first go to school, you're on your best behavior. It's like these, it's their first outing. It's their first event. And they're like all in their best behavior and all invested in it. And just, I think we're in a really good place in fundraising right now, and we need to capitalize on it.
I love that feedback. I love that. Well, we're very glass half full proponents anyway. We're very optimistic.
I completely agree with Amy.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a good question though, because I think a lot of everybody's sitting here holding back going, well, gosh, what if nobody comes? What if this happens?
If you build it, they will come.
If you have it, they will come. If you prepare, they will come. If you invite them, they will come.
If you build it, they will come.
Nice.
No, you don't have to plow up your corn. You just set this
Trevor,
up and they'll show up. I've seen kind of,
I'm over 40. I'm over 40. I don't know.
Build it. They
He's
will
62.
Come.
He's 62. Get off of him.
Realize.
He's
I'm 60. Over 40 years
He's
old
62. He's about to go on Social Security.
Too, so.
So, I mean, Becky, what she just said, music to my ears, the pre-registration, that is such a detail. If you can get to the point where you are pre-registering all your donors, and I mentioned this on, I think, a different call. We just did an event in February, 640 people. We took the time to utilize our software to send out the text messages ahead of time, send out links to get everybody pre-registered. They had credit cards on file. Because we use the software, we were able to, you know, in the corner of the software, it tells them already what table they're assigned to and what their bidder number is. So we didn't even hardly have a check-in. So she's so right. If you can take the time and really put the effort into pre-registration, it makes your event just so much
better. You're
not,
you're plugging software in the macro, and you've been very, very bullish on utilizing software and how many benefits you can derive from using a good mobile bidding software.
I'm going to just tell you, if you're not using software, you're losing 30, you're leaving 30%.
I will tell you, I fought tooth and nail for software. I said, my guests are older. My big money spenders are older. They're not going to want to use their phone. I don't know. I can't even tell. I mean, it's been years, but I can remember I pushed back. And now I think, my gosh, what was I thinking? Because I cannot even imagine running an event without software now. And I say running an event, doing a post-mortem on an event to prepare for next year's event, because it helps me on the front end. It makes my evening so much smoother. I can pull reports after to start prepping and for the next year's event.
Talk about details. Think about all that data like you're talking about. Talk about details.
Well, and if you're using a good software, most of them have, you know, that kind of like health check or whatever. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of those details in there that you can check off right in the software. So you know that you're on target for, you know, getting everything done. Yeah.
We're pretty bullish about software.
One thing that I want to just hit on real quick, Amy, and I think is you mentioned it briefly because we're about 10 minutes out, is you talked about, you know, after the event. One of the things that happens, I see this a lot, and we see this just working with people all over the country, is they run right up and they've got everything going. And then the day the event is over, it's kind of like it's becomes a wild goose chase after that because they don't have that lined up. And my thinking is, I want to get your take on it, is in your plan, that plan does not stop the day of the event. It should go through that plan through, just like, I'm doing a triathlon. So after the triathlon, well, it doesn't stop the day I do a triathlon. I just go back to being a couch potato eating Cheetos. It continues through there. You know, you've got post-training recovery, things like that. You got to have the same thing before you can sit there and go, oh gosh, okay, I'm done. And I know you get tired. I get it. But having those things planned and having that lined up.
I mean, I always tell my staff that a gala or an event is, it's never ending. It's a year round, because once you get through the event, then you have to do the stewardship piece of it. You know, you have to do the thank yous. You're reaching out to the big donors. I mean, you have to follow up, and then, you know, you should work on an impact report that you can share with your guests so they can see that the warm fuzzy has to continue throughout the year. You have to keep your people engaged throughout the year. We can't just, okay, thank you, great event, woohoo, we raised $600,000. Now we're going to like move on to something else. And then 6 months before the next event, we're going to reach back out. Hey, remember us? You know, you gave us $50,000 and we haven't talked to you since. But as soon as that program's over, yeah, you're going to take a few days, you're going to unwind, but then boom, you're right back in, you're booking next year's venue. You're putting your stewardship plan in place. And what does that look like? How do we have touch points with these donors throughout the year? Looking at reports, like I love analyzing reports to see like who were my, I just got a brand new committee member. And it was literally somebody that attended the event that I saw. He spent a lot of money. Why did he spend a lot of money? Did he have a connection? Does he just like our mission? I didn't know, but reached out, set up a meeting, talked through it, agreed to come on board, kind of gave him the role and responsibilities. And that was 100% because I could pull the report from the event and know. So yeah, you have to have a year-round.
That's why you're really the perfect person to have on today to talk about these details. Huge stuff that people don't even mention. I love that. That was awesome.
You know, and talking about that, Mark made a great point because we do see this all the time. They'll finish the event and then all of a sudden they're gone for a week. They're like literally the next day. I'm going to make a suggestion. This is just a suggestion for you. If you're thinking about that, make sure that you've got that handoff bulleted down where nobody has to call you. If there's any deal where you have to say, well, hey, if you have a question, call me, then you don't have it nailed down. Because if you're going to go on vacation, whether it's a week after, the week after, or, you know, the day after, the week after, whatever, if you've got that where somebody says, well, they've got to call you while you're sipping pina coladas on the beach somewhere, then you probably don't have all your details nailed down like you need to. And so that's how this goes when this transition to have those I's dotted, T's crossed, and why they can cost you a lot of these
details when they're ignored cause a lot of pain. And when I say pain, we're talking about dollars, you know, on the table. It's not good. It's not good. It's not good for any business.
It's definitely something that we see happen with a lot of folks. And whether you're right here now listening to it or this is recorded later, all these things they all matter. And going through, I think I have it still in the deal, a checklist that, Amy, I'm going to make sure this is the right one, but we'll share that with everybody. So that way you have it and just a timeline to go it. So if you don't have it, it's just a great way to, you can change your pieces in for your event, you know, whatever that's going to be, but make sure you have that checklist. If you don't have one right now, as soon as you get done,
seeing Amy's put a checklist out of everything you've got to touch. Empower people to create their own and they can share with their entire staff, volunteers, committee, the whole nine. I think it's huge. Are we going to draw a winner?
Any last questions before we bug out?
We only have one bar for this webinar. This is last call, but there's three of us. So we'll get to you. We'll get to you.
Yeah. I have a winner. The winner is Charlotte Bovey. I hope I said that right. Charlotte, congratulations. And you're our winner this week of a trip that you can go take and raise more money at your next event. Hey, be sure to go find us on Instagram, HGA Group, I think is what it is. Find us on Instagram and like us. We're going to do something really cool here next week. So if you did that, we're going to take everybody, give something else away. So if you go and go like us and give us a follow on Instagram. And if you're not on there, also LinkedIn. And as well as that. So connect with us on social media. We're going to be following up. We're going to give away a prize next week. Because Trevor and I, we're going to be broadcasting from abroad. So we are going to be on. We will have number 62, and it will be from abroad. So not abroad, but.
Yeah, we're going to be, well, undisclosed location. Maybe we'll give it away next week. I don't know. It could be fun.
We'll give a surprise whenever we get there. We'll let everybody know where we're going. Hey, until next week, everybody, keep raising more money. Let us know if we can help you in any way. We're always glad to do that, but we will see you next week.